I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, how to talk to God. How to talk to God. You know, it's a strange thing, but there's something about the first of the year that makes me want to speak on prayer. Last year, in the early days of the year, I found myself speaking more and more on prayer. I do not know for sure why that is. Maybe it's because that I'll have to have more answers to prayer in 1972 than in all the rest of the years of my ministry put together if we do everything we think God wants us to do. If we need to get things from God, and if it be true that we can get things from God, then we ought to know how to get things from God. I was thinking a while ago, as I was sitting here, I'm glad that I learned as a kid, I mean as a kid, how to get things from God. We were poor, very poor. And my mother would tell me, son, you cannot have a certain thing because we can't afford it. And I can recall going into my little back room, it's just barely big enough for a bed, getting on my knees again and again and again and said, God, let me have that. It was never a luxury. It was always a necessity. I can recall my mother coming to me when I graduated from high school. We didn't use caps and gowns in those days. And my mother said to me with tears, and mother's here this morning, she recalls very well this experience. She said, son, I don't see how in the world we can buy you a suit to wear to your graduation. Now, we graduated in those days in just plain suits like I'm on this morning. And so she came to tell me that I would not be able to attend my own graduation because I had no money to buy a suit. And I can recall going into the little back room, getting on my knees and saying, dear God, the preacher says that if you ask you for stuff, you can get it. I don't ask for a lot, but I do ask for a suit to graduate. It was to graduate. And going back to the house, up to the front room, and the postman coming, bringing me a check for $50 from one of my uncles. I took the $50 and bought the suit. You know, that's one of the great secrets to my little ministry through these years. I'm no giant among giants. I'm no Bob Jones or Lee Robertson or Vincent Vick or John Rice. But I learned years ago how to get things from God. And I learned to believe that God would give me things if I'd ask Him. And now for these years, I have known that God can and will give us what we need. And there is a way you can get from God what you need. I recall I had Hammond Appleman for revival in Texas. We had a prayer meeting together one day, and it was in my office. And I said, let's pray, and so he prayed first. And I heard him over here in this side of the room. Pretty soon he was over here in this side of the room. So I got to peeking, and that nut crawled while he prays. I mean, he crawls. I mean, just he'd pray him like this, crawling through like a gopher. Though I've never seen a gopher crawl or heard one pray. But I thought, now, isn't that something? Dr. Oswald Smith taught me this. Dr. Oswald Smith walks while he prays. He never prays, or hardly ever prays, kneeling, standing. He walks. He just paces backwards and forth. Or maybe he would take a walk, and he'll walk while he prays. Pappy Reveal, he used to be out at the Evansville Rescue Mission. He was a little bitty fellow, a little crippled fellow, very famous old man. And he used to pray. Dr. Rice said he heard him one day. He'd put all his bills. Pappy Reveal put his bills over here, and he put the Rescue Mission bills over here. And he said, Lord, my bills are all paid. Yours aren't. He said, now, I don't know what kind of person you are, but I'm honest. I pay my bills. Look at them if you want to. There they are, paid on every one of them. Now, all these are your bills. Now, you can pay them if you want to, but if you don't, your name's going to be a mess in Evansville, I'll tell you for sure. And strange thing, that morning, enough money came in to pay the bills. Pappy Reveal would drive down the street. He'd go fishing. He'd say, now, Lord, he'd call himself your pet. I'm your pet now, Lord. Now, put some fish over here right quick, because I don't have long to fish. And Dr. Rice said he'd always put fish over there right quick. And Dr. Rice wouldn't get any fish, and Pappy'd get fish, you know. I've tried that. I don't get any fish either way. But strange thing. Different folks pray different ways. You've heard me tell about the fella in Greenville, South Carolina. I was late to the airplane. Only had 20 minutes to get to the plane. It was a 30-minute drive. Harold Seitler's church. And one of Harold Seitler, all of his folks were nutty anyway, and in a wonderful sort of a way. And this fella said, "I'll make it." So he drove down the street, and the light just turned red. He said, "Jesus changed that light to green." And I thought, "Nut." The light just turned red. And soon something went wrong with the light. It began to flicker a little bit, and the light turned green. "Thank you, Jesus," as he drove on by. And he prayed all the lights green, all the way to the airport. Now, personally, I pray them all red, especially this one down here on Soul Street. But that's the way he prayed. Some people talk to God. I don't think they talk to God, but I was praying one time, and a fellow said, hippie type, Jesus freak kind of person, said, "Hello, Daddy-O." And that's the way he came to God. Dr. Fred Garland, any folks know Dr. Fred Garland? He prays, he'll stop and pray most anywhere. He'll on the sidewalk, "Hello there, Jack, let's have a prayer." And we'll have a prayer. And he'll see you maybe in a shopping center. "Hello there, haven't seen you in years. Dear Father, bless this man." And embarrasses you to death right in front of everybody. One day, no joke, we were in Durham, North Carolina, and I met Dr. Fred Garland crossing the street. And right there in the middle of the street, he forgot where we were, and right in the middle of the street, he put his arm around me, and I said, "Dear Lord, please take care of us." And he said, "Dear Lord, thank you for Dr. Hiles," and so forth. And that's the way he does it. You know, everybody, or many folks, have different ways in talking to God. Now, exactly how should a person talk to God? "I want to get things from God. When I come to God, now I don't care whether it's a pretty prayer or not. I don't care if it's a long prayer or not. I want to get what I need from God. When I get sick, I want to be able to get a hold of God. When I have a need, I want to be able to get a hold of God. I want to get things from God." Praying is not demonstrating how pretty you can talk. Praying is not coming to God and making a pretty speech. Praying is getting things from God. Now, how can you talk to God and get things from Him? Well, one thing is this. Both of you ought to talk. Both of you ought to talk. God should speak a while, and you speak a while. When Dr. Billings and I talk, I don't do all the talking. He does. But we interchange. He talks a while, I talk a while. He talks a while, I talk a while. If we have a staff meeting, I talk a while. Brother Fisk talks a while. I talk a while. Dr. Billings talks a while. Then I talk a while. Dr. Beebe talks a while. Then I talk a while. But any conversation ought to be two-sided. One day, a missionary saw a native convert alone, and the convert was going like, had his Bible open, was going like this. And the missionary walked up and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm carrying on a conversation with God. I open my Bible, I let God talk to me a while. Then I look up and I talk to God a while. Or he'd look down and let God talk to me a while. I look up and then I talk to God a while." You see, the way that God normally talks to us is through His Word. God has given us a Bible, a book of instruction. And when we read the Bible, God talks to us. We, in turn, talk to Him. He talks to us, we talk to Him. He talks to us, we talk to Him. Now, here's the second thing about how to talk with God. And I'll get down to something more practical later. But the second thing is God ought to talk first. It is never a good idea for a person to go to a season of prayer unless he first has spent a season in the Word of God. We ought to let God talk first. Abraham did that. Check the Bible and find out how many times the Bible starts off and says, "The Lord spake unto Abraham and said." The Lord spake unto Abraham and said. And Abraham would listen to God, and then he had talked to God. Same thing's true about Moses. Moses was tending it, was taking care of the sheep on the backside of the desert. And suddenly he saw a bush that was burning. He came back again. He saw that bush was not consumed. And suddenly God spoke to Moses out of the bush. And then Moses heard God. Then he talked back to God. Samuel, as a child, was in the temple. And the Lord spoke. He thought it was Eli. He went and said, "You call me Eli?" Eli said, "No, I didn't call you." Samuel went back to bed. He heard God spoke again. And Samuel went to Eli again. "Did you call me Eli?" "No, I didn't call you." And Samuel again went back to bed. The third time, God spake to Samuel, and Samuel realized it was the voice of the Lord. And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." But the main reason, or one great main reason, why folks do not get things from God they ought to have, is they do not spend enough time in the Word of God. "If ye abide in me," John 15:7, "and my words abide in you," that word abide means live. "If my word lives in you," feast on the Word, memorize the Word, read the Word, live in the Word, love the Word, read the Word, read it over and over and over again to the Word of God lives in here and lives up here. And then the Lord says, if you abide in me, it means if you live in me, and if my Word lives in you, then ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. Elijah heard the still small voice, and then he talked to God. God, listen to me, God never answers prayer apart from His Word. Let God talk to you. How talk to God? First, both talk. Second, let God speak first. Number three, speak appropriately to God. Now you say, Brother Hiles, here's a pastor this morning stands up and says, Thou the great God of the universe, the omnipotent, omnipresent God, we humbly come into Thy presence this morning as humble as we know how. We thank Thee for Thy provisions and protection over us for another week. Thou the great God of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, we come to Thee, oh. And, Brother Hiles, is that the way you talk to God? Or is it like the fellow who said, Hello, Daddy-O, who's right? How do you approach God? How do you talk to God? Okay, I'm going to give you several things. First thing is, you talk to God like a friend. You talk to God like a friend. Brother Fisk read a while ago the scripture, Moses spake to God and God spake to Moses face to face. How? As a friend. As a friend. All right, now let's see. Brother Fisk, you and I are friends. Okay, how do we speak to each other? You come to my office in the morning when you walk in for prayer time and you bow down and say, Oh, thou the great pastor of First Baptist Church, thou the payer of my salary, Thou hast provided for me and my contestables through these years. Thou, the great man of God, the omnipotent, omnipresent pastor of this great church. Hey, I sort of like that. That sounds good. Now, no, neither do you come in and say, Hello, Pastor O. You say, Hello, Jackie boy. No, you don't do that. Either way, and you're fired. In fact, you may be anyway, but either way, and you're fired. Why? Well, now, because we're friends. We speak. Now, he doesn't come to me and say, Good morning, thou the great and noble pastor of First Baptist Church. No, we're friends. And so he comes and he says, Hello, Pastor. Hi, Pastor. Hey, preacher, I want to ask you a question. You say, neither is it over familiarity, neither is it over ritualistic either. Yeah, girls, hey. Funny how the same girls seem to misbehave regularly in the services. And so it isn't overly familiar or overly distant. As a friend. And so God wants you to talk to him as a friend. Now suppose that you wanted something. Dr. Bennings, I call you on the phone and as a friend. And I say, Doc, I don't say, Good morning, thy principal of Hammond Baptist High School and thy president of Hiles Anderson College. I enter into your presence this morning as humble as I know how. Neither do I say, Hello there, Bennings O. Hello there, Principal O. Now, they'll call you that all week at the school, I know. But I don't say that. I say, Hi, Doc. Hi, Doc. And he says, Hi, Preacher. What can I do for you? And I say, Doc, look, about this matter at the school, what do you think about that? Well, I don't know, Preacher. What do you think? Whatever you say now. I say, Okay, but Doc, you give me your opinion about it. As a friend. Now, that's the way you talk to God. You don't have to come to one of the boys and say, Mama, if the preacher lives so close to God, why does he have to holler so loud when he talks to him? You see, we don't have to come to God. Now, I believe in reverence, but I also believe that God is our friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so we talk to him as a friend. But there's another way we talk to God. We talk to him as a dad. As a dad. In Romans chapter 8, it says we're to call him our Abba Father. The word Abba is Papa, you see. Who was it? Cindy brought him. Guest home the other day. And I came in and Cindy and the guests were sitting at the kitchen table. It was late at night and I came in to get me a drink of water. And so I heard the girl say, I'm scared. And Cindy said, What? What else? You're dead. You see? And I said, What are you talking about? And Cindy said, She's scared of you. I said, Don't be scared of me. Just because I'm handsome and famous and rich, don't be scared of me. And now, the funny thing, Cindy wasn't scared at all. Now, she may have should have been, but she wasn't scared at all. Why? She talks to me like a dad, you see. Hi, Dad. And the other little girl, I'm scared. I'm scared. You know why preachers come to God on Sunday morning and say, Dear holy and omnipotent and omniscient Father of us all, we enter into thy presence this morning, thou the great God of the universe. You know why? Because they don't talk to him like a dad. Now, he is my daddy, my heavenly daddy. I'm to call him Abba. And the word Abba was the Greek word for daddy. Papa or Daddy. Now, don't misunderstand me. Cindy don't say, hello, Daddy-o. No, she doesn't say that. But she can say, hi, Dad. And so I come to God and I say, now, Heavenly Papa, this is what I need now. And I pray you'd give it to me. So I talk to him as a friend. I talk to him as a dad. The third way I talk to him, as a beggar. As a beggar. In Luke chapter 11, we're to come to God and we're to beg God and beg God and beg God what? For what we need. Now, does that mean that we come to God as a poor beggar? No, as a child would beg a dad. A dad, could I have money for a new dress? I just don't think we can afford it. Please, Dad, let me have money. I won't ask you anymore. As long as I'm at home, this is the only dress I ever want. Just for this week. But Dad, may I have a dress? Please, Dad, please, Dad. Now we're to come to God as a beggar. Dear Heavenly Papa, as a friend, God, I need help here. Dear Papa, I need help. Heavenly Father, my Papa, my Heavenly Daddy, I need your help. Please give me. Dear Lord, please give us money for the college. Please give us money for the high school. Oh, God, this is your school, and this is your college, and this is your church, and this is your work. Please, please, Papa, please, Father, please, dear God, as a friend, as a father, please. And so we come to God as a beggar. Then we're also supposed to come to God as his creation. In Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens, for out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy hands, the sun and the moon which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, thou hast, and on he goes. Give dominion over all things. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and cattle and beasts of the field and fish of the sea and so forth. What? He's our Father, our Creator. We're his creation. How else? As a lover. As a lover. Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me? And as I've said many times, there's a play on words there. Jesus says, Peter, agape me. That's a deep, abiding love. The strongest love the Bible knows is the word agape. Agape thou me. And Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest I'm fond. He uses the word phileo, which is a fondness. I wrote a little letter one time to a girl named Jean Muller. She was my girlfriend when I was in the sixth grade. I was a real Romeo. Boy, oh boy. And I wrote a little letter. And I said, dear Jean, do you love me? That's original. Kind of note. She wrote back and said, dear Jack, I like you. That didn't turn me on very much. I wrote back and I said, dear Jean, do you love, underline love, me? She wrote back and said, you never did this, did you? You never did anything like this. And she said, dear Jack, yes, I like you. Now, that just didn't do a thing for me. I wrote back again. I said, dear Jean, do you L-O-V-E, underline, 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 exclamation point, love me. She wrote back and she said, dear Jack, I like you and Harry. So the next day, I liked Benita. I loved Benita the next day. But now, the Lord said to Peter, do you deeply love me? Peter said, I like you. Do you love me? Now, in the English, it's the same word love, but in the Greek, it's, do you deeply love me? Yes, I'm fond of you. Do you deeply love me? Yes, I'm fond of you. Do you deeply love me? You see, God wants us to love him. God wants us to say, I love you. I love you. Listen, I think that's one of the most needful things of a Christian is to sit at the feet of Jesus and wipe his hair or his feet with our hair and say, I love you. I love you. Friday afternoon, Dr. Streeter came to my office, he and Mrs. Streeter. And she left with the little baby and the little girl. How old, Jean? Is Jean here? How old is the girl? Cal, how old is somebody telling me how old the girl is? Two or three? Two and a half. And she's as cute as can be. And so the little girl jumped up on his knee and she wanted to kiss him. And he was trying to talk to me and she wanted to kiss him. And she kissed all over him. And I remembered, you know, when Linda and Cindy and Becky were that little. And so I went home and I said, I'm going to try it. So I walked up to Linda and I kissed her and she said, huh? Little girls are like little puppy dogs. It's a shame they got to grow up. but the Lord wants us not to grow up. There was a time when you kissed, "Forgive me," but you kissed the Lord. There was a time when you said, "I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you." And the Lord was so pleased. But now you're 14. Been saved 15 years, 16 years, 17, 18, 19, 20 years. And the Lord wants you to spend some time loving Him. You say, "Well, now, Brother House, I don't understand this. You said, talk to Him as a friend." Now, I don't love on all my friends. I'm glad about that. But talk to Him as a child talks to a daddy. And then you said, talk to Him like a lover. Then talk to Him like a creation. Well, how do I know? Well, that depends on the occasion and the condition. Let me illustrate. Here's a couple just get married. Who just got married recently here? Who's got married in the last year? Let's put it this way. In the last year. Anybody? Anybody got divorced in the last year? Okay. Here's a couple. Brother Fisk and Darlene. First got married. Okay. They'd go out in the car and the moon would be beautiful. And Brother Fisk would say, "I love you, Darlene." And they talked as lovers. And they'd smooch. It was disgusting, really. They'd smooch. Now what would happen? Well, they'd go down to the grocery store to buy some groceries. And so they'd get checked out, and Darlene would say, "Sweetheart, let me have $20. And that's no way to talk. Last night, when the moon was out, you were smooching and said, "Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you." One of our boys said this week to me, he said, "Dad, every guy at school is in love." He said, "It's sickening." Uh-oh, Dad. I was trying not to tell which one it was. I'm sorry, Doc. I'm sorry. I'm in trouble. This guy said, "Every boy out of school." He said, "Dad, half the boys out of school, they're so lovesick, they bump into the wall as they walk down the hallway." Some guys can get girls and some can't, that's all. Oh, boy. I was trying so hard to conceal that. But when Brother Fisk and Darlene checked out the grocery store, she didn't say, "Boopsie, whoopsie, I need $20. And he said, "Yeah, I love you." No, that's not the place to boopsie, whoopsie. You see, that was in the car the night before. But, you know, shortly after they got married, Brother Fisk came in late one night, an hour and a half late. And Darlene didn't want a boopsie, whoopsie. She wanted a bopsie, whopsie. Brother Fisk, you know, he said, "Please, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I got hung up by a train. And I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come in late." Now, same wife, same young married couple. But under some conditions, there's sweet lovemaking. Under other conditions, there's general talk like friends. Under other conditions, there's begging and pleading. Don't you see what I'm saying? Now, you've done something wrong. You're away from God. You've lived in sin. You come back and say, "Oh, dear God, please forgive me." You talk to Him like a beggar. But you need some money or need something. You need to build a college or a high school. And you come and say, "Dear God, Heavenly Papa, please take care of this. I beg you, please take care of it." But you wait, and go to bed at night, and you realize how good God's been to you. You look up and say, "Dear God, I love you. Oh, I love you. Thank you for all you've done for me." But one great secret in service for God and getting your prayers answered is hang around God enough to where you know Him. Most of us don't know God. Hang around Him. Walk with God. Oh, listen. I've said it up and down this country. Young preachers have asked me, "Dr. Hiles, what is the most important thing for a preacher? What is the most important thing for a preacher?" And I say, I can say it in three words. The most important thing for any Christian is walk with God. Walk with God. That's what it's all about. Walk with God. Walk with God. If you walk with God all the time, you'll get to know God well enough to where you won't have to be so formal. How important it is to stay close. Now, how do you stay close to God? There's a wonderful scripture in James. The dear Lord says, "Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto thee." Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Let me show you. Dr. Billings, stand up here if you would, please. I'm gonna be the sinner and let you be God, or the Christian and let you be God. Now I'm gonna come closer to you. And when I come closer to you, tell me, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to thee. Don't you see? He's not very drawing very nigh. But he's sort of a dumb God here. I draw nigh to him, and he draws nigh to me. Thank you, Don. And that's one step. Always knowing you're close to God is draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto thee. But there's another way you can always know you're close to God, and that is by going soul winning. That's right, going soul winning. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always." He's always there. You go soul winning, he's there. Young folks, last night you went out soul winning, and God was there. Well, you say, "I didn't feel him." He was there anyway. I'd 10,000 times rather have God's promise that he's there than to have a tickly feeling that he's there. And God said, "I'm with you." So if you go soul winning, God's always there. You want to know how to be close to God? Go soul winning! Because God's always with you when you go soul winning. But there's another time. The Bible says, "When two or more gather together in my name, there will I be." Did you know that's one reason why you ought to go to church every time the door is open? Because you're always in the presence of God when you go to church. Always. Always. There, if Dr. Billings and I and Brother Fisk are gathered together in God's name and you come to church and we're here, then you're in the presence of God because you come to church. I'm very concerned about the overstress of organizations that get the gospel out that are not associated with New Testament churches. I'm not against them, but they're pretty poor substitutes. Pretty poor substitutes. You may want to belong to Campus Crusade, but if you don't build your life around a church first, you're going to fall and stumble one of these days. You may work with Youth for Christ, and I'm not against that, but if that substitutes for your church, then you're going to fall. I don't mean fall from grace. It is not enough. Child evangelism is not enough. Jewish evangelism is not enough. When God's people get together Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, in the name of Christ, week after week and year after year. I was thinking this morning, Sunday school. I'm 45 years of age. I started the Sunday school when I couldn't even walk to Sunday school. And I was thinking, all these years, I haven't missed Sunday school that many times in my life. And that was because of sickness. And by the way, I have to be pretty sick. I preached the other Sunday morning here with 103 fever. I have to be mighty sick before I don't come to Sunday school. Mighty sick. But I'm saying that God's people ought to come to God's house and build their lives around God's house. But there's another way you can stay close to God, and that is keep doing what God said do the last time He said do it until He tells you something else to do. When I was in the Army, this is a funny story. When I was in the Army, they said, "Keep obeying the last command until you hear the next one." And one day, we're out doing drill, you know. Forward, march. One, two, and I take sharp steps. Column right, march. Column left, march. To the rear, march. I got to go to the rear, march, because my car's run out here. And so they said, "Now, you keep on going until we give you another command." And one day the sergeant got interrupted while he said, "The rear, march!" And we marched to the rear and kept on going. And he got interrupted. He was talking to the captain. And he forgot about us. And we got to a big fence. We climbed the fence. We got all the way out of the... In fact, he forgot it. They're still talking. And we got all the way out of the company area. We just kept on going. We had a free pass, almost. We kept on going. We thought we'd just obey the last command until we heard another one. And we kept on, and we kept on. And we got to the place where the camp had ended. We just kept on going. We even left camp. And they started, where is the squad? Where is the squad? And the squad was gone. We were out in the pasture somewhere. We just kept on going. I guess we walked 30 minutes. And finally, the sergeant drove up in a jeep and said, "You guys are AWOL." I said, "No, we're not. We're just obeying the last command until you give us another one." And we kept on marching. He said, "Well, come get in the jeep." I said, "We can't get in the jeep. We got an order to the rear march." And then he said again, "To the rear march." And he made us walk all the way back and climb all the fences and everything else. But we were obeying. Now, that's what God says. God wants us to obey. You know, through these years, I'm so grateful to God for how good He's been to me. God's not good to me because I'm a better Christian than somebody else. Did you know that you don't necessarily get more things from God because you're a better Christian? I think I used this illustration before. I think I'll use it again. Linda, as far as being a good girl, there's never been a better child than Linda. Linda's 14. When Linda was a little baby, she never cried at night. She never even took a bottle during the night after she was a few days old. She's always been a good girl. Becky is a fine girl. But Becky was a stinker. She had the colic when she got home from the hospital. She had it till she was 17. And she wasn't a good baby at all. And it's funny thing, Becky is a good girl, a lovely girl, married to a preacher and, of course, a good girl. But it's funny. Becky can get more from me than Linda. You know why? Linda never asked. She never asked. I do not recall Linda ever asking me for a pair of shoes or a dress. I do not recall a week passing without Becky asking. See? Now, the truth is, as far as being good and obedient, Linda has been as good a child, maybe better than Becky. But Becky gets more. You know why? She's learned how to ask. Dad, what are you using on your hair? What do you mean, Becky? I mean to make it thicker. Oh, well, nothing. Well, Dad, you're growing more hair, aren't you? Dad, you look just like you did when you were 35. Is that right? That's right. And especially your hair. Man, you, for a man 45, you really have a big head of hair. Is that a fact? But you need it to go with those broad shoulders. Oh? I guess you're right. I guess you're right. And she said, well, you need those broad shoulders to go with your small waist. Oh? By the way, Dad, you can have what you want, Becky. It's funny, she knows how to get it. You know, years ago, I learned to get things from God. Oh, listen. You come to First Baptist Church, Hammond, and you see all that God has done here. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Miracle after miracle after miracle. I was thinking this morning, how good God has been to me. I'm no great preacher. I'm no great dynamic leader. I'm just a country, hell, fire, and brimstone preacher. But I learned how to get things from God years ago. Years ago. God wants to give you things. He wants to. God wants you to have what you ought to have. Spend some time with Him. Learn to walk with God. Right over here, and I've told you this, right over here one night, I came down the aisle. A little girl in a long dress and with straight hair and not too clean. She met me right over here. It was on Sunday night before my class. And I looked over and I said, hello, sweetheart. I said, I kissed little girls your age. She was about 4. And I bent down and I kissed her on the cheek. And she hugged me around the neck. And the next Sunday night, she was at the same spot. She wanted a hug and a kiss. Like the little boy that met me upstairs outside the Baptist dressing door. Said, would you sign my Bible? And I signed it. It was the 53rd time I'd signed the same page. 53rd time. Little girl met me here. And she looked up and she said, hello, Bubba Hiles. I said, hi there, sweetheart. And I didn't kiss her. So she came around again in front of me. Hello, Bubba Hiles. Then I remembered I kissed her last week. I kissed her on the cheek. And so the next week, she had the same place. I forgot to kiss her. She came around and looked up at me. Those are low eyes and little sparkling with tears a little bit. She said, hello, Brother Hyle. And I kissed her again. And the next week I came in, and she had a friend with her. And as I walked in, I tell people, I used to tell folks, I'll kiss anybody under 6 or over 60. But 60-year-old ladies are getting look mighty good to me. So it's 70 now. It's been raised to 70. But little girl. And as I walked by this little girl, she said, see him? That's Brother Hyle's. We kiss each other. little girl, God bless her, long dress and straight hair, and doesn't have what most little girls have. She'd learned. You know, there are a lot of pretty little girls in this church. Little girls in the church. I never have hugged them and kissed them. I never have said, "Out, you're a pretty little girl." They never have gotten around me. Never have gotten around me. A lot of God's best kids go without what God wants them to have. You know why? They don't know how to get it. They don't know how to get it. And little ragamuffin like me, just a poor kid reared in a drunkard's home. Just a poor, ordinary, poor guy. Wore shoes when I was a boy that I had to go down and buy them from the outlet shoe store with coupons given to the government. And my mother was embarrassed, and my dad had come to school to get me after school. Maybe driving an old truck, and I was ashamed of it. And just a poor kid, lived out in the country and went barefooted to Sunday school and church. And I was thinking the other day, New Year's, how good God's been to me. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. God's been good to me. You know one reason He's been good to me? I learned how to get things from Him. I don't talk to God like most preachers. Last Wednesday night, you folks were here and you saw the goof I made. I said, "Dear Lord," I said, "have we had the bus meeting yet? Bus meeting tonight?" I stopped talking and I realized, you know why? Because I talk to God like that. God and I talk to each other. I drive down the street and I talk to God. And I'm in His presence much of the time. And in motel rooms across the country, I talk to God. And He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you can't talk to God. You have no fellowship with the God that made you. There's only one thing you can say. And that is, "Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner." To God's people, let's make 1972 a year of walking with God. I don't mean just quitting this and quitting that. That's right. But walk with God. I don't mean just coming to church and singing in a choir and singing in a group and teaching a class. Walk with God. I don't mean just teaching in a Christian school or just teaching in a Christian college. Walk with God. That's the great need. Walk with God. 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 And then when you have a need, say, "God, this is what I need." Heavenly Papa, oh, like a friend face to face speaks with a friend. Walk with God. Walk with God. And 1972 can be a blessed and wonderful year for you. Some of you, dear saints, you need things. You, dear widows, you need things. Walk with God. Tell Him what you need. Knock on His door. Beg Him and beg Him and beg Him and beg Him and beg Him. Some of you young people, you need to go to college. Don't know how you can do it. Well, just walk with God. God will see you through. Got any rivers that seem to be uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things that seem impossible. He knows 1,000 ways to make a way for you. A little girl came to my office. Spanish girl. Mexican girl. I got a letter from Albuquerque, New Mexico, I think it was. Written in broken handwriting. "Dear Brother Hyle, my name is Torres. My family is moving to the Hammond area, East Chicago, Indiana. We need help. We're not well. Somebody, her husband's sick or something. Would you come to see us?" I gave the card with the Cal Streeter, Brother Dennis, Dr. Dennis Streeter, somebody, and they went over, saw the family. And the Torres family came to our church. Little girl named Carmen Torres, just a little girl, poor kid. After she graduated, senior in high school, she came and said, "Pastor, what should I do about my future?" I said, "Go to a Christian college." She said, "I don't have any money." She went off to Tennessee Temple College without any money. After 2 years, she came back and she said, "I'm going to quit." And I said, "God hates a quitter." I said, "If you quit and turn back," I said, "don't you even come around to bother me anymore." She said, "Brother Hyle, you're mad at me." "I'm not mad at you." I said, "I just don't want to be around a quitter." She said, "Okay, I'll go back. I don't want to hurt you. I'll go back." And she went back to college, and God's provided, and she's worked. And this June, she gets her degree. There's a living God. He wants to help you. He wants to give you your needs if you'll learn to talk to Him as a friend and as a child and as a lover and as His creation and, yes, as a beggar. Let us pray together, please.